It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, alongside former Packer Brian Belaga. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Belaga, Mr. Football is his new name. Because he loves all football. American football, European football. So now, Mr. Football, since I've been informed that my nicknames are all horrible, so they're just Homerism, so I can use them and change them however I went. Mr. Football, how do you like that? Oh, I know you must like that nickname because that's appropriate, hon, given how much you like European football.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like all forms of football, right? Yeah. Football, I enjoy all of them. So, I mean, I don't know why people rag on you for your nickname giving. It's not terrible. I don't know why people give
you
a hard time.
You'll have to deal with that with Jason Wilde. But I don't want to over-focus because when it comes to soccer, European football, my only real interest is I can't comprehend how we're so bad. I mean, like, in men's soccer, it shouldn't be. And I understand it's not that important, but in terms of an American team in a sport, there's no way anything is worse that we apparently try at than soccer. I mean, the women, and granted, there are many countries in the world that don't give women the same rights and haven't progressed to where we have, so there's an edge there. But still, that makes it even worse.
Well, I mean, I know you haven't been paying attention, so I will say this. I've been watching a little bit of the women's Euros. That's the European Championships.
See, proving again that you are Mr. Football. But go ahead.
And I'm going to tell you this much. Our women have a little something to worry about because the Spain team is awfully good. And I mean awfully good.
Other teams have caught up.
Yeah.
The day of American dominance, the way it was, is over.
Yeah. They are extremely good. And it'll be a fun World Cup if the bracket works out correctly and they somehow meet in a final. That'll be a really fun final if it works out that way. But I'll say this. Like, obviously, the American team was missing some pieces. You know, they missed Pulisic and, you know, McKinney and you know, Weah and Robinson, they're missing some guys that are key contributors to that side.
Right, but the U.S. is ranked 16 in the world, right? And Mexico's like 17, it's something like that.
Yeah.
Even with all their players, the U.S. stinks.
You would certainly expect them to be ranked higher than what they are. But I even say this.
Yeah.
Even with some of those guys missing, I still think that they should be able to go out and win. I still think they should be able to go out and win. Like, I really do. And it didn't look, ever since that first goal that Richards had, they had no part in the game. They really didn't. They weren't on the ball. Mexico controlled the game. It was one-way traffic. I mean, Mexico essentially dictated the game.
They had the ball the whole time.
Yes, the possession statistics were out of control. It was one-way traffic the entire game. And to me, that is just extremely disheartening, right? Like, it just really is because to me, I just look at it, okay, we're missing, say, four guys. You know, you look at four guys, maybe five, maybe four guys, right, that are realistically for sure starters. Well, you know, there's seven other guys that need to start. So out of the group that's there, there's other guys that need to play. So based on what we're looking at, what we're watching, those are going to be guys that are playing. So where was the performance that are guys that are going to be counted on when the World Cup rolls around next year? Well, they were out there playing, or at least some of them were, and it wasn't a bunch of, you know, butterflies and fuzzies that I got from it. Like, it just wasn't. Like, everyone was very excited when we beat Guatemala, but I don't even think Guatemala will be in the World Cup. If, I mean, and it's no knock on Guatemala. It's very, very good on them to get to the point they got in the Gold Cup, but, like, I don't think they'll be in the World Cup. So it's a little bit disheartening, and in the way that they played after the first goal was not good. And, you know, you could say, well, they didn't have their guys. Well, okay. So what? Like, that, I mean, you got to be able to go out there and win. And
all right. Go ahead.
That's the name of the game. That's the name of the game. You got to go out there and win. Losing or coming close, or that doesn't do anything. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that doesn't cut it.
Now we get to the question. As far as the World Cup, which is next year, right? That's what this is all about. Because the U.S. is hosting the World Cup, right, next summer? Is it summer? I don't even know that. There's only one question, because there's no thought of winning and doing really well. What does the U.S. have to do to avoid embarrassing Americans? Final eight?
Oh, final eight. That's not even going to come close.
Okay. So, would be amazed by final eight. All right. Final 16.
I would say if they got, depending on what group they get drawn in, right? Like, depending if FIFA does the United States a solid and gives us a cupcake group.
Yeah, they are. They're going to give the U.S. As much as they can. Yes. Count on it.
Yeah. So if we get a cupcake group and we get, you know, out of the group stage, which I'm hoping that happens, I expect them to win a game. So that would get us to the 16, I think. I think unless they added way more teams, which they may have. So
they're
up to,
instead of 32, it's like 48 teams, I believe, in the next World Cup.
Okay, so then that would get us down to what, the 32?
I don't know that, maybe. But again, however you do it, you think to get to the final 16, however that's done, you'd accept that right now?
Yes. Oh, all right. I would take that in a heartbeat. I would take that in a heartbeat right now.
Right.
I'd accept
it. So there it is. All right. I'll be watching in the World Cup. Mr. Football says, all right, I don't want to spend too much time on it because I decided I wanted to open the show with, I really want this to change. And I want to mention it at the beginning of every show, because I think it's so incredibly stupid that everybody should be against it as well. And part of it is, to some degree, watching tennis, where they have now used the machines instead of officials. But to me, the stupidest thing in all of sports is baseball, where they show you the box, but they don't use the box. Okay? Mm-hmm. Which means if you're the commissioner of baseball, well, first of all, if I was an umpire, I'd sue baseball. Because all it does is make them look bad.
Yes.
If you're not going to use it, get rid of the damn box. I want it gone today. Imagine if in tennis they kept that information but didn't use it. So you have the official calling the ball out, and then they show you the machine that says it was in. That's what they're doing in baseball. And until someone comes with up something better, I believe it's the stupidest thing in sports and the one thing that must be eliminated immediately. I'm not asking them to change to the machine yet. I've asked for that for years, and I think they should. But you can't use it and then show it and not use it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's almost like they could have like the umpires have a thing in their helmet where it shows the plate in real time, and it has the box in their plate.
Whatever they want to do long term is fine. But for right now, starting today or tonight, the commissioner of baseball has to say, we're not showing the box. Like, they have these contracts with all these TV networks. They can determine that. They can make that as part of the note easily.
Oh, yeah.
So I won't Pebble, I know you're going to say this is crazy. At the beginning of every show, it's going to be today's day one of the stupidest thing in sports, showing the box in baseball and not using
it. That's the title of the show every day.
Just the beginning.
Okay, just the beginning.
And then when I do it, it'll be day two, and I'll forget, so you're going to have to
keep
track
of the days, yep.
Unless you or Mr. Football can come up with something that you believe is more stupid, or stupider, as I like to say, than that. And then I'll have to consider it. I don't know how you can, but I will give it some thought before I institute it as maybe I'll start with day one tomorrow. Do you, Brian Bulaga, have the stupidest thing in sports? Maybe you dealt with it in football. I don't know if there was such a thing where you just went, this is so stupid. And it's not necessarily a rule. It can also be whatever policy exists. But go ahead.
I don't think anything's topping that right now, because it's literally – that is literally showing you balls and strikes, and then the umpire's calling the opposite. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I think they should contact David Gruber, one call, that's all, and have him, for the umpire, sue Major League Baseball to immediately stop showing the box until they use the box. But –
yeah.
And you're right. You wouldn't even have to show. You wouldn't even have to show the box then. You're right. You could create a way in which the umpire could use the box and you wouldn't see it. Right?
Yes. But 100%. Technology's good enough now. They could figure that out.
Right. Then they could probably you would be like, it's easy. They even in tennis now sometimes show it after even though it's not being used. I think a player can ask it, and it just shows how incredibly close some things are. When it looks like, wow, I can't believe that was out, and then they show it, and it's like 1/16 of an inch out. So, Pebble, do you have anything that you would like to give recognition to? And I purposely didn't tell either of you this, because if you think something's really bad, you don't have to think about it.
Nothing that I can offer right now, but like Blaga said, or like Brian said, and like you said, the information is right there in front of your face. The strike zone is right there. The box is right there. It's showing you exactly where the ball is going, and yet the umpire is calling it in a different spot.
Yeah.
So
I want the box eliminated on TV because they don't use it. It serves no purpose other than to embarrass the umpires. And in some cases, maybe it shows how good they are, but there's no benefit whatsoever. And then if they, in fact, decided at some point to use the box, then they can decide whether or not they want to show it or not. But that wouldn't be stupid either way. Stupid is when you show it and then don't use it. So, until or unless someone, and you can text 1-800-990-3776 if you think you are would like to suggest something that is more stupid. The Carbless Talk and Text Line 1-800-990-3776 1-800-990-3776. Unless someone comes up with one, starting tomorrow, it will be day one of the stupidest thing in sports. Contact the Commissioner of Baseball. They must no longer show the box on TV as long as they're not using the box. Stupid and incredibly mean. And again, I advise all umpires to go to David Gruber and call him and sue Major League Baseball. I don't know how to sue him. What do they have to do to get him to change?
They have to have a union, right?
They do. Very strong union, yes. Yep.
So what is their union doing about that?
Yeah. They're stupid not to fight to get a change. They're as stupid as baseball is doing it. We see the replay, and on the replay, sometimes it makes the umpires look bad. But we're used to that. You can only pick it a few times, and I mean, to me, they should use that all the time also, but that's for another day. This is it's not the exact same situation as if they showed it on every particular play, which they do on every pitch in so many pitches. Right, we will get to the real football, American football, next.
This is the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Nobody works with a partner better than Brian Bulaga. Take it away. too. Nobody does it better with his partners than Brian Bulaga.
That's right. I want to talk about my friends at Surfside. There's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Listen, I'm going to be honest. It was the fourth. I had a couple Surfside. I also had some friends over. They had some Surfside, and they couldn't believe how good it was. They tried them all. The half tea, half lemonade, the peach tea, the raspberry lemonade, and a few of the others, and they couldn't believe how good it was. Didn't make their mouth feel like they just dumped a bucket of sugar in their mouth. They couldn't believe it. I told them, it was made with real brewed tea, real vodka, and it only had 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and 0 bubbles. That's right. No carbonation. It was easy to sip and enjoy it no matter what they had going on. And listen, they did enjoy it. Had maybe a couple too many, but that's okay. They were 21 and they were responsible. Don't worry, they had a ride home. But look for the can with the sunset stripes, sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
And we now have someone who says they wish to suggest something else that they think is the stupidest thing in sports. I, of course, claim that it is showing the box in baseball when you don't even use the box. Pebble, this was our Discount Liquor Twitter poll question.
No,
the Carbless Talking text line. Sorry.
Correct.
1-800-990-3776. The Carbless Talking text line. Liz is more.
Correct. And Jordan texts into that Talking text line, says, the dumbest thing in sports, having to hit a golf ball out of a divot in the fairway.
I will defer to the lowest handicap in our group. That would be Brian Bulaga.
You know, it is really dumb. I will say that. But, you know, it's that's been a rule of golf, like, forever. Like, as long as, like, it's been. And it's been that way. And it's not, it hasn't, like... It's never changed.
Are there more divots that pro golfers deal with now than ever before? I'm asking. I don't know.
I'll put it this way. They don't show them if there are, right? Like, they don't show guys hitting out of them if that does happen all the time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it doesn't seem to happen that often.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to happen as much as, like, it would, like, you know, like you make it seem like when you roll into one, when you're playing on the weekend with your buddies, it's just like, it's one of those rules that it sucks if it happens to you. No one likes doing it, but when it does, it makes you like, this rule should be changed. And like, yes, I think everyone would like to see an adjustment to it, but then there's some purists that go, no, it should not be changed. It's play it as it lies. And then there's the people that go, well, if you pipe a perfect drive down the middle, why do you get punished for it? And you know, it's one of those things, but I still think that the showing a box on the screen that perfectly shows...
I believe it's called the K-Zone.
Yeah, the K-Zone. I think if you show the K-Zone on the screen that says ball and strike and the umpire calls something completely opposite, why have that there?
Yeah.
Right. Like, why? Like, what? Why is that? Like, the ball in the divot is like.
Well, how would you decide it? So, if we're going to change the rule, does it have to be completely in a divot? Can it only be like if the? I don't know. For a golfer.
And that's where it starts to get iffy because then,
yeah.
With the way these golfers are, they're going to start being. Well, is this a divot? Is it a sand filled divot? Is it an actual divot? Is it a compression? Is it a heel divot?
See, I vote no because, to me, golf has become easier, not harder, because of the continued increase in the quality of the golf ball and the clubs for the player. Like, I don't care what anybody says. It's easier to be great at golf today. Like, if you had robots do it, they would be way better than before because of the benefits of increased, improved technology in clubs and the balls, correct? I don't think anybody's going to argue that.
No, I mean, the technology in the game has certainly helped it. And it continues to go back to how often are these guys landing in divots?
Right.
Like that, I would love to see the percentage on that is how often do they actually land in divots or how often do we actually talk about it, or do we just see the viral clips of the occasion where guys do, right? Like, and that's like we saw Lowry, it happened to Lowry, right? And he freaked out and slammed his club, and I think he flicked his ball off or something like that. I mean, was it at Oakmont? I forgot where it was. It was somewhere. But like, that's one of the viral moments, right? That was that like once out of how many shots?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing, like, where this is every pitch. It's every
right.
single
And there are
pitch.
Other benefits when you play in golf that go lucky going your way. You hit a ball on the green, and then a guy hits after you or before you and puts it directly behind yours, and so you get to watch him putt. I don't know where things even out. So we are taking that but not using it. So whoever suggested it, thanks for your interest, but you lost. It's still the K zone is. I didn't even know that's what it's called.
I believe it's called the K zone. Right, yes,
I'm gonna believe you. All right, let's get to the Packers. Every day, I'm excited because it's one day closer to the start of the season. There are just so many parts of the team that I want to see watch them play. Now we had what was the stat that you had about the ranking of the running back Jacobs?
Yeah, the ESPN ranked Jacobs the number six running back in the NFL going into the 2025 season, up from last year.
I will defer to Brian Bulaga. He's good.
Who was above him? Who were all the guys above him? Obviously, Barkley, probably Henry.
Let me bring up the list here.
Because I think so much of running backs now is not just their rushing. Is their total yardage rushing and receiving.
Yes.
And so that's how I value. So last year.
So players ranked above him are Christian McCaffrey from the Niners, Bijan Robinson.
Hold on. I want to put on record. You can't put him up there. He's hurt all the time. Right?
Yeah, I mean, he
got to check to see how many
year, right?
games he's played in the last couple of years. I mean, I got to factor that in. I'm not sure where I put him. Ask anybody who has him in fantasy football. Where are they going to take him this year? In the past, he's been the first running back a number of years now. I have Jacobs ahead of McCaffrey.
Yeah, Jacobs was one spot from last year, number six. But, yeah, so then McCaffrey's number five.
Okay.
Bijan Robinson is number four from the Falcons. Jahmyr Gibbs from the Lions is number three. Derrick Henry from the Ravens now is number two. And, of course, Saquon Barkley from the Eagles, number one.
Okay. Brian Bulaga, take it away, whatever you say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can argue too hard with one and two, right? Like, it's hard to argue against those two guys. I think you can, like, Gibbs is obviously, like, and Homer, you stated it, it's the rushing and receiving with Gibbs, right? Like, he does everything so well. It's hard to like argue with that as well because of how good he is out of the backfield and rushing. I mean, he's kind of that dual threat running back that makes him so tough to plan against as a defensive coordinator. I think Robinson is good. I think he's a good back. I'm not sure if we're like picking a backfield today, if I'm taking Robinson over Jacobs today. Like, I'm not sure if that would be my pick. I think I would take Jacobs before Robinson if I'm being, and that's me just being as straightforward. And it's not saying that I don't think Robinson's a good player, because I think he is that dual threat-ish type of back that he can do both things. But like, I think Jacobs can also catch the ball out of the backfield. It's not something he's asked to do a bunch. At least he wasn't last year. That may be enhanced this year. But I still think Jacobs is such a good running back, like a running back, a pure hand the ball off to running back. It's so hard to like to move him back that far. I think he's ranked a little too low on that list, in my opinion. And and McCaffrey, like, we know he's a stud. We know he's good. It's just Homer kind of hit it too. He was banged up last year. And then I'd have to check the year prior. Is that when he had his big year? I totally forgot. Like, I don't even remember. But this is kind of a, like, what have you done for me lately year, and that's the way backs live, unfortunately. They live that year-by-year deal because the running back position is so volatile that, like, you, like, they are living year-by-year and what they produce year-by-year because their lifespan in this league. So I look at the production, what happened last year, and Jacobs, tough to beat that production, man. Like, he was an absolute workhorse and a stud. Like, just hard to beat that.
All right, and then I also would factor in fumbles because I think that's huge. But yeah, yardage, rushing and receiving. Saquon Barkley was best at 2,283. Derrick Henry, 2,114, and he almost didn't have to catch anything because he would have been second place with 9 yards receiving. Jahmyr Gibbs third at 1,929, and yes, he had by far up in the top. The most receiving. Robinson was fourth, 1,887. Josh Jacobs was fifth, 1,671. Then Jonathan Taylor and Aaron Jones. I'm more of the issue of, and everybody speaks of the importance of Saquon Barkley to Philly, but I'm not convinced yet that the game has changed to where it's back to how important the running backs are. I mean, they're important, and teams are adjusting defensively so much for the passing game that has made running more important. But, I mean, Josh Jacobs was fifth in the NFL last year, which I guess makes you think that the receivers sucked because, you know, you should have a pretty good receiving game when you have a running back that's that good. Right?
I mean, you would think
somebody's got to take the blame for the offense not being better than it was. I mean, it was good, but I mean, he was a stud running back last season, right?
Yeah, he was unbelievable. Yeah. Like that's why, like that's kind of and you look at and obviously I didn't follow the Falcons close like a lot of people did, maybe other people did way closer than I did. I just think that what he did and obviously, you know, with Jordan Love going out for those few games and kind of Jordan Love's, you know, the injuries that he dealt with, a lot was put on his shoulders to kind of to carry the load for the Packers offense. And he did it and defenses knew this thing's running through Josh Jacobs. This offense is going to run through Jacobs. They're going to hand him the ball. Everything's going to work through him. And it did. And he still produced. And he produced at a high level. And the touchdowns were, he got a bunch of rushing touchdowns. And obviously the rushing yard, like, I just think that the ranking was a little slighted there, in my opinion.
Yeah, everybody should take. He doesn't have to do anything better than what he did last year, right?
No. No, I don't think so. I don't either. Like, to be honest with you, like, I think because I think Jordan Love is going to – I think Jordan Love is going to play better or be – you know, I think he's going to throw the – like, I hate the word play better. I think he's going to be asked to do more. Right, like, 'cause I think he's going to be healthier, and I think he's going to throw the ball more, and I think he's going to perform more like we're used to seeing him perform from an accuracy standpoint, not turn the ball over. There's a chance that Jacobs' rushing yards could be potentially a touch lower, but you still see the same type of, you know, the touchdowns, potentially the yards per carry. Things like that. Because I think Jordan Love is – I think Jordan Love is going to have a good year. Because now teams see that Jacobs can carry that load for this offense. He can be the main threat. And when teams see that, like do an off-season study that, hey, this guy, this running – they can be a running team. Teams sometimes over-prepare for that. And when teams over-prepare for that, it opens up other things, and that's now the passing game, right? So now LaFleur and this offense can see how teams play them early and adjust to that. Are teams overplaying the run, and you can adjust to that and you know, kind of kind of pick teams apart through the air. And that could be something that we see early on throughout the season. We'll see how Detroit does it. I mean, that'll be a real telltale sign with how Detroit plays them week one.
By the way, fumbles lost by running backs in 2024. Running backs had 71 lost fumbles. Aaron Jones led with 3. Well, to me, you got to factor that in. I don't know where that factors in, but that was a lot more than most of the other running backs. Third quarter with Brian Bulaga, next.
You're listening to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. They listed the top 5 running backs, at least ESPN, and I mentioned about there's no way Christian McCaffrey can be ahead of Josh Jacobs. He's missed 10 or more games in 3 of his past 5 seasons. It's like Jair Alexander, right? 10 or more in 3 of his last 5 seasons. How can he? I don't know that you could rank him better than top 10. I mean, how many?
I didn't know that. That's quite a bit.
Check out how many yards he has in the last 5 seasons. It's, no, I don't. As I said, the best way you can judge it is by where he used to always be, or for many years, the number one player in fantasy football, and there's no way. I'm not sure when I would take him, but I'm not. He's too big a risk. He's hurt all the time. 10 or more games in 3 of his past 5 seasons, and an NFL personnel executive said he's a great player, but he's always had durability issues even in college. I have no problem with that being an unnamed NFL personnel executive, because if he put his name there, he would not mention those things. So you do potentially get more truth. The lowest ranking, someone had Josh Jacob ranked 10th, which...
Ugh.
Yeah, get rid of that guy, whoever he is. I just don't know how you can do that.
We'll put it this way, because if he put his name behind that, he probably wouldn't be an NFL executive for too much longer.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know. It's just unbelievable. All right, Pebble. We have other comments on the talk and text. Excuse me.
The dumbest thing in sports.
The Carbless talk and text line 1-800-990-3776. List is more. Yes, what do we have?
John texts in and says, put a disclaimer on the screen saying the K-box does not represent the actual strike zone. He also says, didn't the K-zone start as the Fox box because Fox offered it first? I think it started off in ESPN.
That even makes our point even stronger. How much even more stupid is it if it isn't even the strike zone?
But and then Adam texts in and says, the chain gang in football is equally as dumb. He says he needs sensors in the ball.
Well, I do agree they need sensors in the ball. Yes, they do need sensors in the ball.
Now, do they do in football what they're doing in the strike zone? And, like, they tell you where? Can you see? I may have missed it. Can you see on a regular basis? It's never going to be as often as baseball and the ball and the strike. Where the actual end of the 10 yards is different from the...
Well, they have the line on the screen, the correct yellow line, but they also preface it, too, on each broadcast I've heard, saying it does not actually represent the actual line of scrimmage,
right,
or where you're going.
So it certainly doesn't make the chain gang look bad.
Correct.
The way it does the umpires. But, yes, we can argue that they should get rid of the chain gang, or you could say, why do you put that down? Why do they put it down? Because it's easier to see. For a fan, you like it because then you're aware of where that spot is all the way across the field. Am I correct there? Yeah. So that's...
Yes. And it's for coaches, too. It's easy. It's for coaches to see across the sideline as well, right? Like when it's third and short or fourth and short, they're able to see instantly where the, you know, where the stick is compared to the first down. It's just easy point of reference, quick for them to look at. Because not all fourth and ones are equal, right? Not all, you know, third and twos are equal. They're, you know, they're different. They're not, you know, it's not all third and 2 full yards or fourth and 1 full yard. Sometimes it's like fourth and a half a yard or fourth an inch. You know what I mean? It's not always fourth and one, so to speak. So it's always it's kind of a gauge for coaches and things like that a little bit. And if you just completely get rid of that, makes it a little tougher visually for coaches to gauge that based on where the first down is, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. All right, we now on because so many people love YouTube to get to look at us, I guess. What is Brian's outlook on the Bears? I am concerned they will be a problem for the Packers.
Yeah, well, I think the division's going to be good. Like, I don't think that there's any question that the Bears are going to be better. I think they showed us, unfortunately, a little bit last year, that last game, that they're going to be a team that is going to be motivated, and they certainly improved in the offseason. You can't sit here and say that they didn't. They got better. They got a new coach. They improved the offensive line, which was dreadful for them last year. Do I think they made good draft picks? No, it's still Pace making the picks, so I don't think the picks got better. They picked the tight end from Michigan, where the tight end from Penn State was there, who was the best tight end in the draft. Probably should have taken him. He's a better overall blocker and everything, which they want to run a bunch of 12 personnel because that's what he did in Detroit, and then you pick the guy that doesn't want to block. But again, who am I to judge, right? I'm not making the picks. But regardless, they got better as a team. Now, do I think that they're going to create massive problems for Green Bay? Maybe not this year, massive problems, but they're certainly not going to they're certainly not going to be an easy game. And you look at the two games just last year for Green Bay that they played them in, had to win on a blocked field goal and then lost. So it's not going to be any easier than what it was last season for Green Bay this year. So you take that. I mean, Green Bay is going to have to come ready to go when they play Chicago. I mean, they're going to be difficult games. Every division game this year is going to be tough. And it's, you can truly say this probably is the most difficult division in football. Like it probably is. If you're looking at it from a preseason standpoint, things happen throughout the year, injuries and, you know, whatever, but look at it from right now. It's a rough division, man. It's tough. So yeah, I think any of these teams can present any of the teams in the division problems from that standpoint.
The Bears were 5-12 last year. The Packers were 11-6. I don't think there's anyone who believes that the gap will be larger. I would say everyone believes the difference in wins was 6 last year. I say the difference in wins will be less than 6, and I think everyone would agree.
Yep, I think so. I think so.
What does that mean that Chicago and Green Bay would have? I don't know. It means that if Chicago's up to 6, that Green Bay, the most they could have would be 11. If the Bears go up to 7, the most the Packers could have would be 12. Yeah, I'd expect, and the whole world, guarantee, the one guarantee in the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings will have fewer than 14 regular season wins. I will bet any person, any amount of money, and again, all bets go to Ted's in Tulsa, so you can't do it until the 14th because he's gone. I will do maximum $5,000 that the Vikings will win fewer than 14 games this season. Am I going out on the trunk there, Brian Bulaga?
Well, no. I mean, I think you should feel fine about it because you have absolutely no idea about this quarterback. And the thing is, like,
If they had Patrick Mahomes, I don't think they can win 14 games again. And you made mention as to one of their major difficulties. Additional difficulty is the strength in the division. And then the other that they're playing. So whatever, anybody, bring it on. If you want to debate, again, you got to bring the cash to Kevin at Ted's. And I would like to thank all the people in the past that have not brought cash in. to challenge me on things in which it turned out that
has anybody ever brought cash
wrong.
In?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Once. Which means that all these people that talk and are on Twitter are just talkers. They don't have the guts.
I was just curious if anybody brought in or not. So.
Yes. And I won that one. So I can't remember what it was, but it was regarding the Packers. That seemed to create. That created at least someone to back up whatever their opinion was. Fourth quarter with Brian Bulaga. Next.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, the best 60 minutes of your day. Whatever it is that you got. And today is day one. We haven't gotten anything better, so I'm pretty sure it'll begin. Where the worst thing in sports that must be changed immediately is baseball showing the K-zone or K-box when, in fact, they don't use it. The baseball commissioner, maybe I need to go to the baseball commissioner emeritus. This needs to be changed immediately. There's nothing more stupid in sports to show the box when you don't use the box. This is not about whether or not the box should be used one way or another. That does not matter. If you're not currently using it, then don't show it, and the umpires need to hire David Gruber and sue Major League Baseball. Apparently, they don't feel the same way, because I've not heard anything that tells me the umpires union, which is very strong, has said you can't do that, or the setup is such that they can. I do want to mention, most people don't know, this is like Don Hudson, Bill Lee. Do you even know who Bill Lee, spaceman pitcher, was, Brian Bulaga? I don't think you're old enough.
Nope. No idea.
He pitched today for the Savannah Bananas, which is actually a team that I would like to go see play. I have not seen them. Have you seen the Savannah Bananas? I can't believe.
I've seen them on TV. I haven't seen them live.
Yeah, live. It's got to be like 100 degrees there every night, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Anyway, 78-year-old spaceman Bill Lee pitched for the Savannah Bananas yesterday. 78. That's pretty impressive. All right. We were discussing the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. We also have our Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Who is a better player at his position, Jordan Love or Josh Jacobs? Brian Bulaga, would you like to vote? You need to know the numbers. Would that influence you in any way?
No, it won't influence me anyway. Okay. Well, currently, right now, I mean, if we're going to, I mean, if I'm going to vote on it right now.
That would be currently right now is it. Who is a better player at his position, Jordan Love or Josh Jacobs?
In the current state right now, I would say Jacobs is the better player at his position right now.
You seem to have some difficulty going there. You don't, you seem to be pausing a little bit. Am I correct? Do you think it's worthy of some thought?
No, yeah,
sure?
I just say that because I know the difficulty of the quarterback position, and it's so hard to, like, it's hard to just, like, throw out and just rank quarterbacks. Like, I just think it's hard
to
rank.
Is it that hard? Really?
Yeah, cause it, to me it is. Like, you
what's
have
the hardest thing about being a quarterback that people, I mean, don't understand? I don't.
I'd say throwing the football and reading coverages and making sure it's accurate.
We will discuss this. What's so difficult? By the way, 96% picking Josh Jacobs and 4% picking Jordan Love. Our all-time record is Giannis Nice.
Yeah, wasn't that 97-3?
Yes, we may redo that one because I think that could go up given what's happened in recent times with Giannis. I think he has a shot at 98-99%. Yeah, 96%. Say Josh Jacobs. Yeah, I look forward to our next discussion on Thursday. I will remember this. What is so hard about being a quarterback in the NFL? You'll be ready, won't you? Is it harder to be a quarterback than a right tackle?
Yes.
Is it harder to be a quarterback than a right tackle and then in the NFL, Brian Bulaga?
Yes
or no? Yes.
Yes.
10% harder, 50% harder, 8,000% harder.
I don't have a percentage on that.
We'll work on the percentage on Thursday. why being a quarterback in the NFL is so damn hard, according to Brian Bulaga, Thursday, ESPN National. Next.